Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Heavenly Father, we just bless you and we praise you. God, your name is lifted high. Your name is above every name in heaven and earth and under the earth. We just bless you. You are the most high God. And you are our creator and our father. And we are so blessed and fortunate to have you as our father, our heavenly father. Jesus, we thank you for coming and living among men and sacrificing your life, shedding your blood, so that we can be restored once again to the Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you that because of Jesus Christ, we are at peace with you and you are at peace with us. Father, we thank you that all your wrath was put onto Jesus so that we would never, ever have to receive that punishment. We just thank you and we praise you. Father, make us aware of what that means in our lives. We are so blessed, happy, fortunate, and empowered to prosper because of you and your love. And we bless you. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How y'all doing today? Yeah? You blessed? Me too. Me too. That's what the word says, right? That's our anchor. That's our compass. Whatever the word says, that's what we are, and that's what we believe. Amen. Somebody said, thank God for the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, you ready to get into the word? Thanks, praise and worship band. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, you ready? Got your Bibles, your iPads, cell phones. Amen. All right, say this is my Bible. It is the word of God. I am what the word of God says that I am. I can do what the word of God says I can do. I can have, I mean, you know, God wants you to have things. Amen? You're his kids. I can have what it says I can have. Say, it will lift me up out of darkness into the light, out of sickness into health, out of poverty. Out of poverty, out of lack, out of not enough, out of pinching pennies, out of making ends meet, into prosperity. Amen? Praise the Lord. Say, today, this day, after hearing and receiving the ever-living, the everlasting word of God, I will never be the same again. Never, 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 never. Never, ever, ever, ever. Yeah, get an attitude. Never, ever, ever will I be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, today I'm going to be sharing the scriptures about our identity in Christ. Amen. How many of you know we have a new identity? And that identity we get from Jesus Christ. Who he is, you know, they said that the word identity, it means the fact of who or what a person is. This is the who or what and the fact of who we are and what we are. Can I get an amen? Amen. So it's not something people have told us in the past, right? It's not what well-minded people have said to us, it's what God says. And God says, God's word changes everything. Amen. Last week, I had used the example. I had mentioned that we never waste our time when we're in the Word of God. When we read the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, it's never a waste of time, because it's going to change our minds and change our hearts. And we don't know. Christians don't know who they are according to the Bible. Most Christians, they just don't get it. We got to get it. We have to get it. You know, if we knew who we were in Christ, we wouldn't be messing around with sickness. You know, you think the Bible says that the promises of God are yes and amen, right? But why does it take us so long to get the Bible promises? When God says that we're healed, what takes us so long? Why do we keep putting up with poverty? Why do we keep putting up with depression? Why do we keep putting up with things that bring us down instead of building us up? Why? Because we don't know our true identity. I was at a Ken of Copeland conference this week, and one of the speakers was Creflo Dollar. And his message was on identity. So I was like, ooh, you know, because I started it last week. So, I took good notes. And he just built on what I had shared and what I had studied. But he was saying that according to the scriptures, I probably should read the scriptures first. Let's read the scriptures first. Oh, let's read the scriptures. All right. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. All right? Remember, we have to be fully convinced about a thing. That's why we meditate on the Word of God. I was thinking how, you know, Hollywood actors, right? They get signed up in a movie, right? And they have to memorize their lines, right? And they memorize those lines, and to the point where you can't tell them they're not Superman or Black Panther or, you know, whatever movie. What's the guy's name, the latest one, Mission Impossible? You know, you can't tell Tom Cruise he's not, what's his name? No. Nobody saw that movie but me. His name, what is his name? Ethan Hunt, thank you. You can't tell Tom Cruise that he is not Ethan Hunt, even after the movie's over. You know, we should at least do the same thing. When the movie ends, they ain't Ethan Hunt. They're not Superman or Captain America. They just whatever their name is. But we need to really become the script that's in the Word of God. We will become what God says that we are. Not an Ethan Hunt, not a Superman, but we will become in the image of Jesus Christ, just like we were created. Y'all get me? So we have to memorize enough of this script so that we can act like and be who we are in Christ. Y'all hearing me? So we should do nothing less than to memorize our part enough and meditate on the Word of God enough until there's no question in our minds who we are. Again, we put up with people. We put up with stuff. We put up with curses. We put up with things that we've already been redeemed from. Why? Because we don't know who we are. Right? You know, you don't go somewhere to get served and they bring you something below average and subpar. you know enough to know who you are to ask for better food or better service. So when we know our, if we don't know our identity in Christ, we don't know who we are, we will accept a subpar life. And God's called us to a higher life. Amen? So that we can reflect him and reflect his life. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness because he needs you and me to do his will in the earth. We're not here to do our own will. When we do the will of God, somebody say, when I do the will of God, I'm going to be happy. Now, why is that? We've been talking about grace, double grace. You know, there was a guy at the meeting, and he's an evangelist. He goes and preaches to, you know, countries everywhere, thousands and thousands of people he preaches the gospel to. And Kenneth Copeland asked him, you know, how did he feel about it or whatever. He laughed. He said, I love it. We need to all get to a point where I love being a Christian. I love my identity in Christ. Right? If we don't love being a Christian yet, we got a long way to go. And I just wanted to say that there is a... a group of people who laugh at the Bible, who laugh at Christianity. I'm talking about Christians who mock Christianity. They don't know who they are, and they don't know what they're missing. And they don't know that God is their Father. See, we would obey the word if we knew who we were. We will be healed if we knew who we were. We would tithe if we knew who we were. See, God doesn't need our money. We covenant our money with his money. Because we don't know our identity and who we are to God. And when God instructs us to tithe, he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Not understanding, right? That we're tithing to El Shaddai. Who doesn't want to hook up with more than enough? So then we suffer because we don't want to obey that part or live that part. And God sees, he knows, he's not blind or dumb or deaf, but I believe he's grieved because he wants more for us. And so we can't blame not being prosperous on him. We can't blame not being healed on him. We can't blame being depressed on him because he's already made provision in his word. Y'all hear me? All right. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 and amplify. Ready? Let's read. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. Tell somebody, you are a new creature altogether. We don't look at our outside. We can't be familiar with our flesh. You know, I wasn't sure I was going to say this, but we do ourselves a disservice when we identify with our ethnicity. We do ourselves a disservice because then we only get what our group, people group, gets. We get the troubles of that people group. If there's any benefits, we only get the benefits of that people group. But when we identify with Christ, we get what he has. And so he's not looking at the dirt.
Right. That's good.
So now I don't care what color I am or where I came from. I'm not trying to do that.
Amen.
I'm trying. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4, where it says that we need to labor right? To rest in who we are in Christ. We don't have to be doing a whole bunch of stuff, right? We need to be purposing to find out who we are based on the Word of God. So I don't want to limit myself to where I came from or what color I am. Y'all hearing me? Because we don't want to make that the priority. Because God loves everybody. And God blesses everybody the same. Now we can blame inequality on people, but that's not God's take. God's an equal God with all of his kids. And it's all good. Somebody say, it's all good. So our heritage in Christ, it's all good. It's awesome. It's powerful. It's full. Jesus said, Satan comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it to overflow. How many want overflow life? How many want your life to overflow? You want goodness to overflow. You want healing to overflow. You want your prosperity to overflow. You want your peace to overflow. You want too much that you have to give it away. That's our heritage. God says, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing. Not just me and my three, but to bless whomever the Lord wants us to bless and whoever we can touch and whatever our circle of people are. We all have a circle of people. We come in contact with different people because we all walk different parts of life. And so, but God wants us to bless people wherever we are. Amen? Not just some. Amen? But all of us. And so, we didn't even finish. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. It says, okay, therefore, if any man is engrafted in Christ, remember, we're in Christ. As far as God is concerned, he doesn't see anything except Christ when he looks at us. Matter of fact, he told his disciples that the Father, the Heavenly Father, loves them just as much as the Heavenly Father loves him. That's for us. That wasn't just for the disciples or the 12 disciples. So God loves us. Identifying, knowing our identity, we need to know that God loves us just like he loves Jesus, his son. Right? He was the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn. Right? Now the firstborn gets extra stuff. You know, he got the name that's above every name, but we get to use the name. Amen? And we need to identify with that name because that's the name that the Father gave us. And so it says, engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. Somebody say that again. I'm a new creature altogether. We're a new creation. When we got born again, we became a new creation. And why am I repeating such a basic thing? Because we don't know. We don't believe it. Right? If you can't say, oh me, say oh my. We don't believe it. Why? Because we haven't spent enough time renewing our minds. We haven't spent enough time thinking about it. Remember, we gotta practice the script. Only again, they don't become their characters. But when we meditate and memorize the Word of God, know what it says about us, we actually become what it says. And that's what Christians, you know, I get so grieved. And the reason why I love this message is because, you know, I've been saved for many years. But I remember that churches, there are churches, they don't teach the Word of God at all. They do a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of traditions, but nobody changes. Nobody can take anything and go home and use it. and do it. Come on, I know I'm not the only one. Right? I don't need to dance. I need the word. I need my life to change. I want a better life. I want a better personality. I want a better disposition. Right? And so we've been kept back because the word hasn't been preached. And so therefore, many Christians don't know their identity. Amen? Hallelujah. So identity, of course, that leads to identification. Identification is proof of who you are in Christ. When they want to prove I'm Constance McLean, I have to show them my license or my passport. That's my identification. This is our proof of who we are in Christ. Amen? Somebody say, this is my identification. Whatever God says about me is true. Amen? Somebody say, I'm ready to change. Say, I'm tired of being stuck. I'm tired of going in circles. It's time that we moved up. Amen? Amen. Praise God, like the Jeffersons. Amen. So, did we finish that scripture? Maybe we'll finish it before I leave. Did we finish? A new creation. Oh, okay. A new creation. So, we are new creatures all together on the inside. Our spirit man is a brand new creature. The old previous moral and spiritual condition, our moral and spiritual condition, how we live, what we do, living right, the ability to live right, it's been changed. We have a new condition spiritually, right? But we have to learn how that new spiritual condition is. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. I was, behold, the fresh and new has come. That word passed, when it's used in the Bible, the scripture says, I believe it means that eventually, when come the end of the course of this age, it says that heaven or that earth will pass away. When we got born again, our old nature went whoosh and it was gone. So it's not even in us anymore. Our old nature, moral and spiritual, it went whoosh and it's gone. It's not even in there anymore. We're brand new on the inside. But what happens, we get stuck with junk on the outside. We get stuck with habits. We get stuck with attitudes. We get stuck with how we think. Come on, y'all. And so we need to think different. We need to think correctly. We need to think what God thinks so that we can be what God sees. Y'all hear me? Anybody here, you want a better quality of life? You want to please God. You want to be a good representation of God. I know you do on the inside. That new moral and spiritual creature on the inside wants to please God. But we get caught up. That's why last week I was talking about, because Satan will use constantly his modus operandi is to come at us. The last thing he wants is for you to know who you are in Christ. Because when we find out who we are in Christ, we're going to kick his butt. That'll be one less territory, one less life, one less house, one less body, one less bank account that he can mess with. When we find out who we are in Christ, according to the word of God. And so I started off last week because I went through this experience where I had to, I had to go, you know, I was put into a position that was designed to get me into bitterness. And so, you know, after a few days, I laughed. I wasn't laughing at first. But after a few days, I'm like, you know what? Devil, you are not tricking me. You are not distracting me from my purpose. I'm on the right track. I'm purposing to do the will of God. You will not get me off track. So what the enemy does, he has to keep putting up smoke screens. He has to keep putting stuff in your life, putting people. It's always people, putting people in your life or try to mess you up and get you off track. And you were just doing so well. And then he sends a person or people or trouble to get us off track and lose all of our progress. And when that happens, he'll have a legal right to do it because he knows the word, even when we don't know the word. Amen? So we have to be smart. And that's why I said, don't worry about what somebody does to you. You let God take care of that. You got to do it. Even if they hurt you. They hurt you. They hurt you. They hurt you physically. They hurt you emotionally. They hurt you. But you have to let them go. Because what you reap is what you sow. None of us are getting away with anything. And it's not like God has to be all behind us. Oh, make sure she does right. Make sure she doesn't. Make sure she isn't doing anything wrong. No, his laws. A law works all the time. What we sow, what we plant, no matter what it is, money, attitudes, love, whatever we plant, that's what we're going to reap. We're going to get more of it. And so he wants to get us off track and caught up in negative emotions because they're going to make us go in the wrong direction. So when I realized this was happening to me, I'm like, I'm not going there. No, nope, nope. You're not going to fool me, trick me. Nope, I'm not going there. I'm not going to do it. I see what you're doing. And you're not going to win. You can't do it. So we all have to do the same thing. We all deal with people who bother us, who hurt us, bamboozle us, cheat us, right? We got to keep walking in love because our faith works by love. Faith can't work by bitterness. Faith works by love, right? So we can't get caught up. Tell somebody next to you, you can't get caught up in your emotions. And some people, I know I'm not talking about you, some people, they fall for it every time. What they say is an old saying, hook, line, and sinker. I got her again. I got him again. You know. Right? So we don't want to be that person. We want to be cool. We want to know who we are in Christ. We want to walk in love. We want to be smooth. We want to be able to walk through a crowd and when they're trying to throw you off a cliff, like they tried to throw Jesus off of a cliff. He, because of his love walk, and he never wanted to harm people, you know, and he just moved right through that crowd. Love covered him. And we can't compete against it. Nothing stronger than it. There's no law against love. It's always right. It always works. It's always more powerful. Right? So we have to get out of our old ways in our old thinking, so that we know who we are in Christ. So our old nature went whoosh. It's gone. It's gone. But our outside, our circumstances, most things don't change when we get born again. Not physically. That's why we're not supposed to live by what we see. And that includes us. We're not even supposed to live by what we see in the mirror. Amen? Don't be familiar with our old self. We need to learn our new self, who we are in Christ. Amen? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. So if any man, somebody say, if any man, any woman, that word man, it means a human face. It means anyone. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Right? You know, the Bible says that we are God's masterpiece. And I heard somebody say, can somebody think of one of God's masterpiece creations? What about a sunrise? Or a sunset? We are like that, only we're better. So we know a sunrise and a sunset is a masterpiece. Only God could do that. But we're masterpieces. We're his workmanship. Whether we know it or not, whether we look like it or not, but on the inside, you're a masterpiece. Now, we can try as hard as we can to catch up on the outside to look like a masterpiece, but on the inside, we're already his workmanship. God doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't make anything ugly, right? Everything he created was good. Somebody say, I was created good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So 2 Corinthians 5:21. So the first step, or one of the steps in knowing our identity, for our sake, he made Christ. Look at that. For our sake, not his. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved, acceptable, and in right relationship with him by his goodness. Now, this is who we are. God has forgiven us. Our spirit man comes with an outside. We're spirits first, right? We possess a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body. In God's eyes, not just in his eyes, we've actually been made. Come on, somebody say, I've been made. He didn't just cast it on us like a spell. He made us. He made Jesus sin, our sin. He made him sin. That's why he had to go to hell. Because, you know, you can't get to heaven if you're a sinner. Right? Because of what you are. That's why you can't get in. Some people say, well, I'm a good person. That's not the scriptures. Jesus said there's only one good, and that's God. So we can't be good enough to get into heaven. God cannot live with sin in his heaven, right? So what was the verse? Did we finish? 2 Corinthians 5:21. So we were made the righteousness of God in Christ. Somebody say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. How did that happen? In Christ, right? So when Jesus died, we died. When he was raised, we were raised, right? So we got credit, so to speak, for everything that Jesus did, and he did it for us so that we didn't have to suffer that way. So when he was made sin, he paid the penalty because man had sinned and disobeyed God. And that was a problem for everybody, all of us. But he was made sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. Somebody say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm in right standing with Christ. I'm in right standing with God. God's at peace with me. When God looks at us, he sees his son, the firstborn son. We're the rest of the sons, everybody that comes after him. Amen. He was the first one so that there could be a second and a third and a fourth and a millionth and a trillion. So that he did the work.
Thank you, Lord.
And we just received credit for what he did by faith. And that's why that's another reason why we don't know our identity in Christ, because we don't use our faith in that area. And faith is simply trusting God and trusting his word. It's so important for us to trust his word. What he says is what it is. Whatever he says we are, that's what we are. Whether we look like it or whether we feel like it, right? Again, Satan doesn't want us to know who we are. And I say, let's really know who we are so we can keep him out of our lives. Amen? We're supposed to work with him to undo, to make of no effect all that the devil did. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to undo everything the devil did. Amen? How many of you know that it says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all? Somebody say, healing is good.
Healing is good.
And it says, doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Sickness is not a tool that God uses. He doesn't have any. If he touches you, you're going to get healed. One day somebody told me, I laid hands on them and never mind. Anyway. And they thought their pain got worse after I laid hands on them. I said, I'm not a witch. I'm a Christian. If I lay hands on somebody, they're going to get healed. I don't make pain worse. What is that? Anyway. So if God touches you, something good's going to happen. Tell the person next to you, say, if God touches you, only good's going to happen to you. Amen. So we've been made the righteousness of God. We're in right standing with God. God's not angry with us anymore. All his wrath was put on Jesus because of our sin. Amen. And the sin of mankind. So we are in right standing with him. That means we can go before God. We can talk to God. We can worship God, sing to God, ask God for information, ask God for wisdom, ask God for direction, ask God for provision, because we're the righteousness of God in Christ. We are in fellowship with God now. So there's no, so we don't have to feel like God doesn't love us or that he's mad at us. I had to get over that because of how I was raised, you know. And so I had to separate Father God from natural fathers. And that'll mess us up. He's a good, good father. There's a song. He's a good, good father. Right? So he's not mad at us. He wants the best for us. Somebody say, God wants the best for me. Let's look at Ephesians 2:10, and I guess we'll end there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me make sure I said all I wanted to say today. Hallelujah. But one of the things I want you to hear today is don't let the devil set a trap for you. Don't let him set a trap for you. You back out. You walk in love and say, you know, they used to have this thing where talk to the hand. We don't want to do that. That's not love, but you get my drift. Like, I'm not listening to that. No, nope. You can't catch me. You can't catch me. Amen? For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined. Listen, God has a plan for us. We've been recreated in Christ Jesus. We're a new creation. We're his workmanship. We are God's handiwork, that we may do those good works. He changed us because he's got good works prepared for us, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. Look, we need to identify with Christ so that we can walk in the good works that he's prepared for us. Let's read that together. Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. God's not making life difficult for you. Either you are or the devil is. Everybody here believes in the devil, right? He's a spirit being. He's invisible. But he works through people, and he's a troublemaker. But Jesus stripped him of all his authority, gave it to us, and now we can tell him to take a hike. He has no power in our lives unless he deceive us. And that's why we go back to the emotions. Stop feeling so much. Stop taking things so personal. We can't get anywhere that way, right? I know I'm talking to somebody, right? It'll mess us up every time. And the devil say, I got you. No, we're not getting God in Jesus' name, all right? One more scripture just to identify with him. Did I give him the scripture? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading my notes. All right, let's see. My one last, let's make it as good as possible. Hallelujah. I didn't give them Galatians 5. You can write that down. And I want to leave on this. Galatians 5, I know we've been giving you scriptures up until now. But Galatians chapter 5 in Amplified, it says, in this freedom, talking about freedom in Christ, in this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast, then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again, somebody say again, to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. In other words, Christ has called us to freedom now. That means part of our identity, we should no longer be identifying. We should no longer be identifying with fear and lack. We're at a place where Jesus has made us free. That's why, I asked in the beginning, why do we put up with stuff? Why do we put up for things for so long when we're actually been freed? We've been freed from poverty, right? Even though, why do we put up so long? Why do we stay on drugs so long? Why do people drink so long? Can't stop drinking when you're called to freedom. But you got to know that you're free. So this scripture is saying that we're all free. We just have to train this body, know who we are. Let me end with this. Dr. Dollar, Creflo Dollar, one of the things he said that had me cracking up, he said, there's a scripture that says that as Jesus is, so are we in this world, right? And we're made in his image and his likeness. And he said, we should get to a point where Jesus looks at us. Well, he does look at us, but we got stuff going on the outside and in our soul, right? But when Jesus looks at us, he says, that's me. And we need to get to a point where we look at him and say, that's me, right? We got to catch the script. We got to memorize the script, know who we are, know what our role is, know the part that we play. So when Jesus looks at us, he says, that's me. So now we need to be able to look at him, look at his word, and say, that's me. I'm not what I feel. I'm not where I came from. I'm not what somebody did to me. I'm Christ. That's who we are. And then we can start getting some things done. Amen? Y'all, am I getting to somebody? Praise the Lord. So we have to, brainwashed is a negative word, but our brain does need to be washed of the old things until we think like Christ. Amen? Until we talk like Christ, walk like Christ. Amen? So we have to know our identity in Christ. So we have to disconnect from being a person on drugs, being a person who drinks, being a person who sleeps around, being a person who does cheats people, lying, right? And then I'll end with this, honest, I promise. In Mark chapter 10, I never got to this last week. In Mark chapter 10, see, once we know who we are in Christ, we can be like this man, blind Bartimaeus, right? Jesus had called him, and he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then I can't remember exactly what Jesus said, but the man, in those days, you needed a coat to beg as a blind person. And so when Jesus spoke the word to him that he was healed or spoke, let me go there. I want to know exactly what he said. Mark chapter 10. Hold on for a second. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say, Lord, you gave me something to think about. Matthew chapter, 10 verse 50. Mark. Okay. I am in Mark. Okay. Thank you. It says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. Come on, circumstances happen and circumstances start lying to us, people are lying to us, telling us we're one thing when the word of God says we're another thing, we need to scream out the word of God even louder. Not get quiet, not get shy and draw back and stop saying what we're saying. Am I talking too loud? Oh, sometimes I think I'm talking too loud. That's why I'm amplified, right? And so it says, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, I'm sorry, I'm giving her a cry now. Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Verse 50, it says, and throwing aside his garment, before he wasn't even healed yet. What did he do? When Jesus spoke, he immediately identified with not being blind. Because he heard the word of the Lord. And before he went to Jesus, he took off that begging coat. He said, I ain't going to be blind no more. I'm taking this coat off. I don't have to be begging nobody anymore. Because the Messiah has spoken. Well, God has spoken. Jesus has spoken to us in his word. And we can take off our coat of drugs. Take off our coat ahead of time of alcohol and sexual impurity and all those types of things. Because God has spoken and said that you are a new creation. That drinker, that drug person went whoosh. It's just that our bodies, our lifestyles keep us in it. Tell somebody, take off that coat. Say, you getting ready to be healed. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Man, throwing away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Somebody say, that's faith. Yes. He took Jesus at his word. So if we want our lives to change, right? If we want to be more like Christ, then we're going to have to take off the old garment. We'll get there next week. We're going to have to take off the old garment, all the stuff that identifies us with our old life, because we need our outside life to match our inside life. And we've been talking about double grace. I'm telling you, God will do everything he can to help you do what you're believing for him to do. He will work with you. He will help you, whatever you want to do to change your life and be like Christ, God will help you do it with his grace. We can't do any of it. We've always needed his help. There's nothing that we can do without him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you got anything out of that, let's give the Lord a praise, a hand clap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take off that coat of tempers. Your temper. You got a temper. You need to throw it off. And be who God created you to be. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you for your word. Your word is true. Your word will change us. We become new creatures in Christ. Your grace will help us to live that new life in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that when you look at us, you see Jesus. And we bless you. We thank you, God, that you're not mad at us. You're not upset with us. You love us. We came out of you. Especially once we got born again, we came out of you. You wanted man so that you could love him. You wanted us so that we could be an extension of your love, of your peace, and of your power. And so we just bless you. We thank you. Father, help us to meditate on the things that we've heard and review the scriptures and learn our lines. So that we can be who we've been created to be. Hallelujah. Keep your head bowed and eye closed. I want to give an invitation for salvation. If you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never called him Lord of your life. You know, he needs your permission. God's always looking for faith from day one. And so if you're here and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I'd like to pray a simple prayer. And if you just repeat that prayer after me, what you say with your mouth, confess with your mouth, and you believe it in your heart, you will be saved. Amen? So please repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner, but I also believe that you are a Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, right now, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Say, I believe that God the Father raised you from the dead out of the grave to live forever so that I could live forever with you. Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Say, devil, I heard today you can't continue to trick me or fool me or lord over me, because today I have a new Lord, and his name is Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm in the family of God. Anybody here, did you pray that prayer for the very first time? Or perhaps you rededicated your life. Anyone? We just raise your hand. We have some information for you. Anyone pray that prayer for the very first time? When you prayed that prayer, you believed it in your heart. You believed the words that were coming out of your mouth. Is there anybody today? Anybody? Anybody? You don't have to be shy. We won't ask you to say anything. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay. Come on. Here's Elder Robert. He's going to lead us in tithes and offerings.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Connie, for that life-changing word. Whew. At this time, let's prepare our hearts for tithes and offerings. If you're in a sanctuary and you need a pink tithe and offering envelope, please raise your hand and the ushers will accommodate you. We ask that you fill it out completely, your name, member number, and address. Fill it out completely, write legibly, and deposit them at the rear of the sanctuary at the end of service. The earth and its goodness belongs to the Lord. We are all stewards that are allowed to enjoy God's blessings. Our blessings include our homes, our cars, our jobs, and we are stewards. We're in covenant with God. Also, we are responsible for managing God's blessings. So we know that we be a good, faithful steward. We want to honor God's blessing. In Luke chapter 12, verse 42, we read, "And the Lord replied, 'A faithful, sensible servant is one whom the master can give responsibility of managing his household servants and feeding them.'" In 43, it says, "If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward." We all want the servant master's reward. Is that correct? So we want to make sure that we are faithful stewards of everything God has blessed us with. God's covenant promises that he will bless and provide his people. So as good stewards, we want to be held accountable for doing a good job for God's blessings. And therefore, we want to make sure we give our first fruits to God and come into his storehouse. Amen? Okay? At this time, video ministry, please roll other ways to give.
Here at Living Faith, we have made giving easy by using electronic options as much as possible. You can text to give by texting LFCCNJ to 77977. You can give once or set up as a recurring gift. Just enter in your details, confirm your gift, and you're done. You can give through our LFCCNJ church app. This method will look similar to text to give. The iOS version of the app can be downloaded at the App Store, or you can get the Android version on Google Play. You can also give online at lfccnj.com/giving. If these options are not possible, you can obtain a pink envelope and deposit it as you leave. We thank you again for joining us today. God bless you.
Amen. At this time, can we all stand for our tithe and offering confession? Ready? We decree that because we are tithers, we receive the promise of Scripture that protect those who tithe and give offerings. As a household, we are committed to tithe and give to the Lord's work. Therefore, we claim tithers' rights. That means no devourer, destroyer, waster, plunderer, or pillager can rob from us in Jesus' name. They cannot steal our blessings or fruitful harvest. They cannot steal from our home, businesses, or from any of our loved ones. The destroyer can't strip away our heritage or harm our children. We stand in the tither's blessing, which promises that the Lord will rebuke the evil one on our behalf. We stand in the tither's blessing that the Lord will open heaven's treasure and pour out our blessings we do not have room enough to receive. We stand confident that the tithe is raising a standard against every demonic plot and attack. We have faith that as Jesus, our Lord and eternal high priest, stands in heaven receiving our tithe, we are under the covenant of his blessing. We prophesy that the promise of the tither rests upon our families in Jesus' name, according to Malachi 3:11 and Hebrews 7:8. Amen. Let's rest toward our blessing. Father God, we thank you that you've allowed us to have been in covenant with you and that you allow us to be good stewards over your blessing. We pray that you will bless this giving and return 100-fold to our household so we can give again and again and again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, let's welcome Minister Kim for Hot Topics.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that mighty word, Pastor. And as you notice, I don't have on heels because I don't want to be identified with my high heels. So I got on flats. Psych, my heel broke on my shoe. So be always ready. Amen. Amen. We have a few video announcements we'd like to share with you.
We're excited to invite you to join in our upcoming monthly Bible study, held every second Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. We are diving into the powerful book of Acts. Whether you're new to the Bible study or a seasoned reader, you'll find this study to be engaging and enriching. As you read, jot down any questions or thoughts. Whether you're bringing questions, thoughts, or just an open heart, you'll be a vital part of this exciting journey through the Acts of the Apostles. We can't wait to see you there. Mark your calendars. Let's make this Bible study one to remember. Calling all women of virtue, we're delighted to invite you to our monthly small group sessions entitled Cafe Conversations. This is a wonderful opportunity for women 18 and over to come together, connect, and share in a warm, welcoming environment in our cozy cafe lounge. It's the perfect time to build meaningful relationships, inspire each other, and grow together. We can't wait to see you there. Let's make these gatherings something special. For more details, call the church or feel free to reach out to Elder Ida Misher.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to encourage you, members and everyone, to get your tickets. Come out and let's celebrate together. There's flyers in the back. We want to encourage you to take flyers and pass them out in your community. Because this is an exciting time, celebrating 40 years of God's goodness. So we're going to come together and party in the house with God. Amen? Amen. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, please get your tickets. They are on sale now. Amen? In addition to the concert, we will also be holding a black tie and red carpet banquet. So you'll get more details about that. But you don't want to miss out on these two great events and anything else that we have going on in these 40 days of 40 years, as the pastor shared with us, and we'll tell you more about that. But we really want to encourage you to come out together and let's celebrate. Amen? Additionally, I want to encourage women of virtue that we have been having some good cafe conversations, and we want to encourage you to be there. Last month, Minister Vonda ministered on God's grace to prepare for the future. And as a result of that, she talked about spiritual preparation and physical preparation, and she gave some really good information about how we need to prepare our homes. We see what's going on in the world. We can't put our head in the ground. So as women of virtue, we need to make sure our homes are prepared in the event something takes place. Amen. How many of you have enough water for 3 days or 3 months? How many of you have the things you need in your house just in case the lights go out for a little bit? We can sit in the house and be peace knowing that we don't have to fear God. So I want to encourage you to be at those cafe conversations because some good stuff is shared, not only for you, but for others. Amen? Amen. And so the last announcement I'd like to make is that this coming two Wednesdays, the first and second Wednesday of every month, the online Bible study will be hosting additional messages from Pastor Dr. Lamont. And we've been getting some really good reminiscent word from Dr. Lamont. The word is still powerful and it's still good. So I want to encourage you to join us online on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock for the first two Wednesdays of the month. And additionally, join us every Wednesday. But I just want to specifically bring that to your attention because we're celebrating 40 years of the legacy of the word of Pastor Lamont and Pastor Connie. Amen. Amen. So we invite you and we want to thank you once again for being here at Living Faith.
Praise the Lord. It's kind of weird. I've been, it'll be 40 years of ministry and it'll be 18 years. Since Pastor Lamont took off, went to heaven. I've been pastoring half of that almost, which is kind of strange, but it's the truth. So I'm two years short of half of 40 years, amen? I know, I look so young. And hey, if I don't say it, maybe nobody will say it. Amen. Do we have any first-time visitors? I'm being silly. Do we have any first-time attenders? Anybody here? You're here for the very first time. We won't embarrass you. We would like you to stand, and we just want to welcome you. Anybody? Anybody here for the very first time? First-time visitors? Come on, don't be shy. Somebody. I know. See, we won't make you do anything. We just want to say hi and welcome to Living Faith. There's some hugs. They're hugging you on behalf of all of us. We're so glad you joined us this morning. Amen. As soon as she finishes hugging people, we're going to say, welcome to Living Faith. All right, tell her. Say, welcome to Living Faith. Amen. She went like this. Amen. Praise God. Our doors are always open. You can come back anytime. Amen. Do we have anyone who wants to make Living Faith? You've decided you've been coming and you want to make Living Faith your church home. Everybody needs a local church. Amen. And if you know the Lord's laying on your heart to make Living Faith your church home, if you just raise your hand, we would like to see you and welcome you. Anybody? Anybody? You just raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right. Amen. I'm assuming everybody but her is a member. Amen. If not, I'm going to find you. No, I'm not. Amen. Of course, thank you, everyone, for your birthday cards and envelopes and gifts of love. I appreciate it so much. Amen. So I love you and pray 100-fold return, amen, in your life on that seed sown. Praise God. All right. You ready to go home? Amen. I think it's going to be a nice day today. We are going to have the altar open for prayer. Our ministers, elders, and our prayer ministry people will be up here to pray with you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, God is good. And he's good all the time. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you that you are a good God. And you're the best father ever. And we just bless your name. Father, let us get a revelation of who you really are. Father, I pray those who suffer from fatherlessness would find out and discover that you are their true father. So, Father, we thank you. You're the best father. You've been the best husband to me all these years. You are a good God, and you are everything that we need in our lives that's missing. We bless you. Father, we do declare and decree in agreement with your word. You already spoken over us, so we agree with you that we are blessed, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper, and to be envied. Somebody say, I'm blessed, and so are you. Love you. Mwah.